Today on Real Radio.
The Holy Spirit is a witness to righteousness. There's not one deed the Holy Spirit will not let go without attention.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called Why Should I? Biblical lessons that take a look at what the Bible has to say about the lifestyle choices that you and I as believers make. We're now in the home stretch of this collection of topical studies, and if you've been following along, you've been hearing Pastor Jack talk about why should I be a witness? Well, the short answer for that is that the Father and the Son are and have been witnesses. Now, Pastor Jack's got a message for us full of scripture about how the Holy Spirit himself continues to be a witness throughout the world in the lives of both the believer and the non-believer. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We're going to pick up the pace now, so get your pen ready. Because that's what the Father is. The Father's a witness. Not only Jesus, but the Father is a witness. How so? The Father is a witness to the Bible. The Father, he is a confirmer, a promoter of the Bible. The Father confirms the accuracy of the Bible itself. Matthew 24, 14. And this gospel, says the Bible, of the kingdom shall be preached in all of the world as a witness to all nations. And then the end of the world will come. The Bible will never fail. This book, the Bible, is without error. It is God's word. It will not fail. And with each passing year, this scripture is confirmed before the unbelieving world of God's absolute accuracy and endorsement of the Bible. Archaeologically, linguistically, scientifically, religiously. And above all that thing, all that stuff personally, as powerful as all those things are, to me, the greatest science of all, and I don't know if there's a name of it, name for it, but it's the science of God just knowing exactly what you and I need and who we are. This book divides between the thoughts and the intents of our heart and exposes the very person of who I am wide open. And this book ministers to me the answers for life. Yes, God proves it by prophetic fulfillment. And yes, God proves it by science. But you know what? If all those things were taken away, I know the Bible is God's unerring word by what it's done in my life and what it does to me. The amazing thing is I don't go back to it enough to receive that nectar or that strength or that feeding as often as I should. I get going. I get moving. Things happen in my day, I should just pull over and take a couple of chapters into my veins. You know what I'm saying? Changes everything. The Word of God, it's life to us. The Father is a witness concerning the accuracy of the Bible. You and I should be a witness, right? Concerning the accuracy of the Bible. We should stand with boldness to proclaim, and you do, the accuracy of the Bible. Confirming the accuracy of Scripture. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore," by the way, the Greek implies, you go therefore because I have all authority. That's what I'm sending you out in. Go. It's the command of a general. All right, troops, I'm going to command you now to go to this point. Go. And you know what that means? That the general supplies all the air cover, all the ground support, all the fuel, all the technology to go. Same is true in the wars of these last 10 years. For every soldier or every airman or every sailor that went to battle, 33 military or contract individuals you could count or is behind every soldier that went or every pilot that flew. 33 support personnel behind each man that is employed or each woman employed at war. That's support. The United States government and the people of America standing behind one soldier saying, we give you the best equipment, we give you the best intelligence, we give you the best that's available, we're behind you, go. And Jesus says, I have all authority in all of the earth and all of the universe. Go, therefore, into all the world and preach the gospel, teaching them and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And behold, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, he said. Man, I can be a witness. I don't have to go to Stuttgart. You get to. I don't have to go to Cabo. You get to. I don't have to go to Norco or El Segundo. Can you imagine? But we get to. Because Jesus says, go ye therefore. He's a commander saying, listen, go. I've given you all that's necessary. There is a kingdom, a nation. There is a God behind you, and he sends you out. How can we do that? Because of the Bible. Also this, the Father is a witness to the prophets. By this I mean the Old Testament prophets, particularly in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. 2 Peter 1:21 says, for prophecy, that is the revelation of God's word, never came by the will of man. Oh, jot this down when somebody attacks the validity of the Bible. Give them 2 Peter 1:21. Prophecy, that is the word of God, never came by the will of man. But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. They were possessed. The Holy Spirit breathed through them. There were things that the authors of the Bible were writing that they didn't even understand. And now we know thousands of millennia later, here we are, or millennia later, here we are, and we know that from prophetic fulfillment, the word of God. It's fantastic. God confirmed the witness through the prophets of old. Keep that in mind. Thirdly, the Father is a witness to Jesus Christ himself. The Father confirmed the life and the ministry of Jesus as Lord and Savior. Jot these verses down. You'll need them for the next time someone visits your door. Jesus is Lord. Write it down. Jesus is Lord. The Bible says there's only one Lord. Well, the Father calls himself Lord. The Holy Spirit's Lord. And the Bible says Jesus is Lord. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. That at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, the spiritual realm of darkness, demonic powers. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is what? Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wow. Jesus is Savior. The witness of the Father is to promote and to exalt his Son. The psalmist wrote, King David wrote in prophetic knowledge, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Father spoke to the Son in eternity and said, sit here and I will make all those who are against you to someday become the very platform for you to rest your foot on. The Lord said to my Lord. What a great statement. Jesus is Savior. Titus 2:13. That we are to be looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Who's God? Jesus Christ. Who's Savior? Jesus Christ. Who says? Titus 2:13. The Bible. Jesus is Redeemer. Isaiah 44:6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and besides me there is no God. That means God is Redeemer. But who is the Redeemer? Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is our Redeemer, for he has redeemed us from the curse of the law and of all sin. Jesus is Redeemer. No wonder why the Father gives witness to the Son. The Bible says that Jesus is Almighty. Somebody's going to say at your door, well, there's a couple of Almighties. You can't have a couple of Almighties. Someone's got to be Almighty and someone's got to be Mighty, but you can't be Almighty. Almighty and Mighty. There can be Mighty based upon whose judgment, I don't know, but there can be Mighty things. Nuclear bomb's pretty mighty. But there's only one Almighty according to Scripture. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ, for this is the true God and eternal life." The true God, the Almighty, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first and the last. There is no God but God only. Number four in our study, point number four, why should we be a witness? Because that's what the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is a witness. How so? Number one, to sin. The Holy Spirit is a witness to sin. Now listen to this. This kind of blows my mind. The Holy Spirit is an eyewitness to all sin and all wickedness at all times. You need to think about this for a minute. Aren't you and I grieved by the evil and wickedness that we see in the world? I mean, aren't you sick of it? Don't you throw your hands up sometimes in disgust and just, if you could do something, you would do it? Evil, evil, evil. Don't you hate it when some evil comes to you or to your husband or to your wife or to your children? Don't you hate it? You know who hates it infinitely more? The Holy Spirit. Jesus lived 33 and a quarter years on this planet. He ascended into heaven, and on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down and filled and came upon all the believers. And the Holy Spirit is all in all the earth, convicting the world of sin right now, everywhere in the world. He is an eyewitness to all evil. What about other horrific evils? The Holy Spirit knows. I tell you, the control of God is amazing. With all He knows and with all He sees, shouldn't He just pull the plug and let this thing die? He doesn't. Isn't He amazing? His goodness? What evil have I done? What evil have you done? Did He pull the plug on us? The Bible says that He's abounding in mercy. Revelation 5, verse 6. Revelation 5, 6 says, John speaking, "I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth." Here in your Bible, in Revelation 5, it talks about the seven spirits. And by the way, it says seven, and then in your Bible, it's capital S, Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit. Well, are there seven Holy Spirits? No, there's one Holy Spirit. The answer, though, to the sevenfold Spirit of God means this, that He knows all. He sees all. The number seven is the number of absolute to God, perfection. Seven. You find the answer to Revelation 5, 6 in Isaiah 11, 2. What are the seven spirits of God? Isaiah 11, verse 2. Number one, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon Him, that is Christ. Number two, the Spirit of wisdom. Number three, the Spirit of understanding. Number four, the Spirit of counsel. Number five, the Spirit of might. Number six, the Spirit of the knowledge. Number seven, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord, culminating or personified in Jesus Christ Himself. But the Holy Spirit, here the Scripture tells us, He knows all, He sees all. There's nothing hidden from Him. He has perfect knowledge of all sin, and He's a witness to all the sin of the earth. How disgusting must that be to Him? Secondly, the Holy Spirit is a witness to righteousness. And listen, we're to be a witness to sin in a way, and a witness to righteousness, of course. We're to look at the sin in the world and in the righteousness and look at it the way God does. The Holy Spirit is a witness to righteousness. There's not one deed the Holy Spirit will not let go without attention. There's not one thing that you do for God. There's not one act that you do to bring Him glory that the Holy Spirit will let slide. He will bring you a blessing. That's not why we do it, but He blesses. Of righteousness. I'm going to give you some scriptures. Go quickly with me. 1 John 4:13. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit tells us in our own lives as a church, doesn't he? That when we're doing righteousness for God's glory, the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:16. For the Holy Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That is a verse, by the way, in Romans 8:16 of assurance. You should know that you're a Christian and that you're going to heaven. You should know from Romans 8:16 all the benefits that are recorded in Scripture are yours to receive. The Bible demands that you and I know this. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit to encourage us in righteousness, Ephesians 3:16. That he would grant us, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Holy Spirit in our inner man, the born-again person of who we are. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit to teach us. John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. He does that using the Bible. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to remind us. And as we get older, some of us say, come, Holy Spirit, and remind us. Lord, help me to remember. John 14:26 again at the latter end of the verse. And he will bring to your remembrance all things whatsoever I have said unto you. John 15:26. Are you guys okay? Are you with me? John 15:26. Jesus says, but when the Helper, the Holy Spirit, comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will witness of me. And you will also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Isn't that great? The Holy Spirit is a witness of righteousness. That means wherever you and I go, we are witnesses of righteousness. We are walking testaments of the righteousness of God. I had a dear brother tell me yesterday that in his earlier years with Jesus, he made a deal. God doesn't make deals, but the Lord let him think he made a deal. And he said, Lord, if you heal my mom of cancer, I will tell people about your great power. I'll tell people of your love. And what did God do? God healed his mom. So he tells people about God's goodness and God's love and God's mercy. That's being a witness of God's righteousness. What has God done in my life? What has God done in your life? What is God doing in our lives? Let's tell the world. What are they going to say to us? Can you imagine this brother walks up and says, excuse me, I just want to tell you right now. Many years ago, I asked God to heal my mom. He healed my mom. Healed her. I'm telling you right now, God loves you. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. Have a nice day. What are they going to say to that? Don't tell me that again. What are they going to say? Stupid Christian. They'll probably say that even if you don't say anything. So what are they going to say? See, right there, we are either serving God or we're serving man. Because if we can't tell them, then we are afraid of them more than we are of God. And we value their opinion of us more than we value the opinion of God. And we have no faith. Jesus said this when the disciples were tiptoeing around all spooked out about everything. Jesus says, you want to hear something? And this is tremendous truth. Nobody ever thought about this before. Jesus says, I'm going to tell you something. Don't be afraid of him who can kill you. Don't be afraid of those people. You need to rather be in awe of him who can not only kill you, but send your spirit straight to hell. Jesus says, you better have your priorities right. Man can only mess with you. The Father, he holds both the physical and the spiritual in his hands. That's powerful. That's strong. Which leads us to this. The Holy Spirit is a witness to judgment. It is the Holy Spirit himself who plagues the consciousness of man today. It was communicated through a little wooden guy, you know? He wanted to be alive. Every time he told a lie, his nose grew. Pinocchio, Jiminy Cricket would show up and tell him what's right and what's wrong. Remember that? And the Holy Spirit, he plagues the consciousness of people. You know, all you have to do is show up. I mean, you see the moving of the Holy Spirit upon people. You just remember, I've told you before, after this, you're going to probably go get breakfast. Take your Bible there and just set it right on the table. Good morning, dear waitress. How are you? And I want a cup of coffee. And let me see. Scrambled eggs, hash browns. And she's gonna look at the Bible the whole time. What was that? Scrambled coffee? What? It's the Bible. It's amazing how that happens. You don't have to take a Bible to breakfast. You can sit there. She comes up or he comes up. Good morning. How are you? Great. I'm here to take your order. You know what? I'm here to take your order. Why don't you give me something to pray for this week? Really? Yeah. You know what? That is amazing to me because people struggle in their head until they're at peace with God through Christ. They struggle in their head with the existence of God because they know until they come to Christ they're under judgment. They know someday the books will be opened. They know it internally. The Holy Spirit says so to them. The Spirit says things like this to them in the consciousness of man. He says things like, what are you thinking about death? He'll shoot a thought into their head. You ever think about life after death? You ever think about the Bible? The Holy Spirit speaks to everybody. What are you thinking about Jesus? And sometimes, church, listen, some of you need to hear this, because maybe your child, your wife, or your husband's running away from God, and it's getting worse. You know what? That's a good sign. Hear me out. Have you been witnessing to your son, and he's running away more? He's getting close. The more tense, the more upset they get about God, it's because the Holy Spirit, nicknamed the hound dog of heaven, the old preachers used to call him, the hound of heaven, the Holy Spirit, constantly going after them. They can't escape. They can maybe get out of your house. They can move out of your state. They can move out of your country. They can go around the world. The Holy Spirit is still with them, right alongside there. What are you going to do about heaven? What are you going to do about hell? What are you going to do about Jesus? What are you going to do about God? What are you going to do about... That's what he does. Judgment. The Holy Spirit is warning a person over and over again about judgment. And then when you come to know Jesus, what do? You wind up getting that lifted from you. And then he says things like this, you have peace with God now.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Why Should I Be a Witness? In fact, it's a series within a series and part of Pastor Jack's collection of topical studies called Why Should I? We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this collection of topical lessons by Pastor Jack called the Why Should I series is now available on MP3 CD. And our offer, for your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you the entire series on an MP3 CD. It's very convenient. That's Pastor Jack's entire series you've been hearing here on Real Radio. The Why Should I series on MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio. Now you can call, you can click or write if you'd like. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and the rest is easy. realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, write to us and send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Ask for it by name, the Why Should I series on MP3 CD. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.